Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
This podcast is part of the More Than Baseball organization. More Than Baseball is working daily to provide or to better the lives of minor leaguers all over baseball. Our mission is to protect and enhance the future of our game by allowing baseball players to live better lives during and after their careers. Check them out at morethanbaseball.org. I'm super excited for my guest today, a pitcher in the Rangers organization, drafted originally by the Mets in the 10th round. Steven, am I pronouncing this right? Villanez?
Separate the L's, the lines.
The lines. There you go. The lines. Yeah. How's it going, man?
Good, man. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, absolutely. How, and obviously you're rehabbing right now, but like, how has, the past couple of days been, the season so far? How's everything going?
Yeah. Unfortunately, rehabbing with some shoulder issues, but hopefully get some answers and be back on the field soon. But until then, it's kind of a, hang out and do everything you can.
Yeah. Is there like an idea of what's kind of going on, or you're just kind of like wait and see what the answers are going to be?
I meet with the doctor tomorrow and we'll go over some MRIs and kind of make a plan from there. So I'll have more answers tomorrow.
Well, let's talk about this though. Okay. So you're from California. I'm from California. We got to kind of figure out a couple different presumptions about us California guys. Like, I don't know how California you are. Obviously you're Southern California, and I have these, you know, preconceptions of Southern California people growing up in the Bay Area here in California, in the San Francisco Bay Area. But like, how California are you? Like, are you a surfer? Like, what are you how California would you describe yourself?
So I haven't really lived back in California since high school, but as far as how I dress, and I guess I've heard how I talk as well. I'm pretty California, so I love the beach. Tried surfing when I was younger, and it's pretty hard. I didn't stick with it, but definitely can find me at the beach anytime I'm back there.
Yeah, no, for sure. Okay, so you talk about my surfing and everything. I live in the Midwest now, so everyone always is, that's like one of the first questions they ask me when I tell them I'm from California. Like, oh, so you're a surfer? I'm like, no, I don't surf. But I've been told, similar to you, that I kind of sound like a California guy. I'm very laid back, just kind of chill. So I don't, like, everyone always asks me, like, are you by the beach? You live by the beach? I'm like, yeah, I've never surfed in my life. Like, it's just, I'm not that California. Like, I've never surfed. What about this, In-N-Out? Like, is that the best food chain ever or no?
It's definitely the best fast food burger there is. Especially playing in Kansas, then being in Texas a bunch. I'm hearing Whataburger.
Yeah.
Is really good. It's okay.
Yeah.
I like Whataburger, but if, yep, I had to pick one, it's In-N-Out is unmatched fast food burger.
Absolutely. And same thing here in Wisconsin. We have Culver's. I don't know if you've ever had Culver's, but that's the thing here. And I'm like, well, I always tell people, like, it's not In-N-Out, though.
No.
But anyway, yeah. So talking about California. All right. So you grew up in California. You went to El Toro High School, which, yep, is like some of the really good players came from there. Did you ever get a chance to play with Matt Chapman?
I was around him a bunch. My brother is 2 years older than me, okay, so they grew up playing together. Arenado was a couple years older than, right, them, but his younger brother was my year, so I grew up playing from Little League, travel ball, all the way through high school with him. Basically all in the same baseball community. Mm-hmm. Everyone kind of went in between different travel teams, stuff like that. So we were all around each other, which was, now looking back, you don't really realize that those guys are going to be almost the face of the MLB. So it's pretty sweet looking back.
Was Arenado's brother as good as he is? Or is he in, did he ever advance? I'm not too familiar with his brother.
probably the toughest question, or the toughest scene for him, because his brother's top five, yeah, baseball players, right? But he was really good. He's a good ball player. He played for the San Francisco Giants organization. Okay. I know he's up to Double-A, maybe some Triple-A, but
so I believe he's still playing then. Like, he's still in professional baseball.
I think he finished, it was either last year or right before 2020 happened.
Yeah, and how difficult is that to always be compared to your brother, like you said, who is, like, just, who's just an absolute stud. Like, I live here in Wisconsin, so, like, the Brewers are my NL team, and, like, we see the Cardinals all the time, and I'm like, and it's hard for me to hate the Cardinals because I grew up in California, so I never really grew up as a Brewer fan hating the Cubs, hating the Cardinals, so I kind of have, like, an appreciation for them. So like watching them succeed and watching him play, like, it always brings me joy. But, yeah, those guys are just incredible. Like, were you able to see, like, at an early age, like they were just going to be absolute dogs? Like, cause like, or are they just different than everyone else?
I would say we kind of knew it with Nolan. Mm-hmm. I remember just when I was watching him when he first was in high school, my brother's there, and anyway, yeah, you could just tell this guy had something different about him. Yeah. I think he hit like 400, 500 every year. So, and especially in Southern California, there's great competition. So you can kind of tell right away that he was going to be something pretty special. And then for Chapman, he was always above as well. He was a great player. He was always the best one on the team. But he was more of an on-base, single, work-the-count type guy. Mm-hmm. And then, I mean, once he got to Fullerton, he kind of took off. But, yeah, they were always – Nolan was a for sure, no doubter. And then Matt, it was always a – you knew he was really good, but it wasn't a, hey, he's going to be one of the best.
Yeah. Yeah, like, I grew up an A's fan, so, like, watching him, like, he was one of those guys just coming up, like, okay, he's the future of our team. And then the A's, you know, did A's things, and then he's traded. Now he's with the Blue Jays. But, you know, I'm not going to talk about the heartbreak that I've had being an A's fan for the last several years. But you mentioned California and, like, the scene of baseball there. Like, I've talked to guys who live here in the Midwest, and during the off season, during the winter, they can't practice because it's snowing or whatever. And so they'll play other sports and all that. Did you play other sports, or was baseball pretty much just like your only thing?
No, I got a pretty good streak going right now. I'm turning 27 next month, but yeah, I've never played any other organized sport besides baseball. I was never on a basketball team, a soccer team. It was all baseball, and it was probably because my sister grew up playing Little League, then softball, and then my brother was all baseball. So I kind of had no choice, but it's worked out so far.
Yeah, no, it's obviously worked out so far. You're in AAA. I mean, you're close enough to the big leagues. That's just that next step. How was the recruiting process going from high school? Because I'm sure, like, scouts were everywhere there. Like, that's just one of those schools. And, like, obviously Chapman, Arenado, they just have dudes who play there, and obviously you yourself got drafted pretty high. How was, like, the recruiting process for school, looking at different schools, because obviously you went to Kansas. Like, how was that process for you?
Yeah, it was wasn't recruited pretty much at all out of high school. Kind of rightfully so. I wasn't throwing hard. I had kind of a weirder arm path angle, but just kind of threw strikes, and I was able to get some innings. But yeah, it really was a teammate's friend of a family friend who ended up knowing the head coach at Kansas, who just retired, Rich Price. And he gave me a preferred walk-on spot and kind of never looked back. So I enjoyed my 4 years there, and they helped me grow and find out my sidearm angle and everything. So I owe them everything for my professional career, and here we are.
So were you always pitching kind of funky? How did that process start? I know you had mentioned that your coaches there had helped you, like, lower your arm slot a little bit more, but were you always pretty much pitching that way?
I wouldn't say I was sidearm, maybe a little three quarters, but it was more the wrap behind my back. I don't just do a traditional to my ear and go. It's more of a behind the back to the side, awkward sphere that I'm drawing if I had a pen in my hand. And I think it just kind of throws off timing, throws off some rhythm. And with it coming out a little bit less traditional slot, it kind of helped me out. And then got to Kansas, body grew. I understood pitching a little bit more, and I was able to kind of create the arm slot I'm in now.
Yeah, so how was it pitching in Kansas? Because obviously we know their basketball team's just electric. I don't know if their football team was good or not, but how was the baseball team? Did you guys have a pretty good squad when you were there?
The football team won a total of 4 games in my 4 years, and
wait, every four all together they only won 4 games.
Yeah. It was a tough stretch. Still is a tough stretch for Kansas football, but I don't know how familiar you are with college football, but you should look it up.
I Big Ten, so like Kansas or Wisconsin, yeah. Minnesota,
Nebraska, yeah.
I haven't really watched. Definitely. Are you guys Big 12 or no? Big 12. So how was the college game day then? Like, I mean, were you guys able to go out there and enjoy it, or did your coach have you guys run practices on those days to just keep the boys from getting too crazy?
Coach Price probably has the most feel any coach has ever had, and he would be looking at it, both football, basketball, kind of whatever sports. If it was a big volleyball game, he was big on supporting the other sports. So if their game was at 11 o'clock, he's like, all right, prepare to wake up early and then hit the tailgates kind of deal. So we were able to go to pretty much whatever games we were home for, if we weren't playing our own game or something. But yeah, I went to a lot of different sporting events, especially the basketball.
How is the college game day there for the football though? Does it get pretty crazy? Like, I don't know how, like, I know in Wisconsin, like, we tailgate everything.
It's nothing. It's not like one of the best atmospheres ever. I went to a Nebraska game and it was pretty amazing. Yeah. But if they show out, I mean, the Kansas fan base, if there's something big going on, they'll show up for it. So it's pretty big. It might have died out maybe through halftime, but definitely when spirits were high at the beginning, it was pretty fun.
And the basketball games, you mentioned you went to a bunch of those, and obviously they ball out. Like, those guys are – like, they're one of the most respected, like, basketball programs. Like, how was that atmosphere?
It's pretty remarkable. It's probably one of the most special places in all of college athletics, everything. And yeah, they can't really alter the arena too much because the donors don't want to mess with the history and tradition. So, I mean, the arena is just packed 24/7. I think they sell out every single game, obviously, but there are students camping out waiting to get the best spots, and it's pretty special.
That's incredible. So on the baseball side, like, who was your guys' biggest rival, like, in the Big 12?
Probably school-wise, it's obviously going to be Kansas State. And then mainly because they were pretty good when I was there. Texas was always – those are the one two punch on the most hated.
Yeah. So did it ever get chippy between the two teams, either Texas or Kansas State?
So we were pretty good my freshman year. Went to the Louisville Regional, and then after that we had some pretty tough years. But it always seemed against K-State it was got most chirping, and we'd be yelling back and forth. Kind of no matter how, it's just how it is, no matter who was having a good year, bad years, whenever we played them in a series, it was always close, always intense. And that was kind of what I had to learn my freshman year. And being from California, I was like, oh yeah, I mean, I get it. You guys don't like K-State. And then I had an upperclassman from Kansas kind of pull me aside and be like, no, dude, we hate Kansas State. Like, you're a Jayhawk. You hate Kansas State. And then we played against them at their place my freshman year, and I mean the crowd was it was packed. They're yelling. It was a fun environment, and then I understood from then on, like, I hate K-State.
There you go. That's it. As soon as the freshman year, you learn, like, this is the team we hate. All right, like, that's the team we hate.
Yeah,
doesn't matter who it is. So then you obviously were a closer, and you, like, set records closing and relieving. Was there any talks of having you start, or was it pretty much just like you were just going to go in there and be a reliever? Cause, like, you were good at it too.
Yeah. I think just one with the arm slot is it's tough to be like, all right, hey, let's have you start.
That's true.
It was more talked of, hey, if we need you to go come in the sixth and maybe go four or go three or something like that. That was kind of the main goal, but I think we found something that kind of worked, and for the most part, they were like, hey, let's just keep rolling with it, and we'll we'll see what we can do and kind of not tweak with too many things.
Yeah. So talk to me about this. And you went to the Northwoods League. Obviously, that's I live here in Madison area. So like we see the Mallards, and I've been to several of those games. I've talked to guys who played in the Northwoods League. I've talked to guys who played like the team in Canada. I can't remember exactly where they are, but he was like, we're at the very tip top, and like we had to travel for every
Alexandria, I believe. Was it Alexandria? No. That's still in. Oh, I forget. Yeah, I mean,
he was way out there.
Crazy. That's some absolute grindy bus rides that had to get on. But yeah,
how was your experience playing in the Northwoods League? Like numbers wise, you did well.
Yeah, no, it was good. Obviously, when you're able to have a good year, it's fun. I think because it was right after my freshman year, and I was kind of still a little ignorant to what I was getting into. Looking back now, it's basically a minor league season with no pay, less quality hotels, food. I mean, you name it. So I think if it was after my sophomore, junior year, I probably would have been more hesitant, but it's still a great league. You play against some great competition. You're on some long bus rides, but it kind of helps you get to know your teammates and kind of make some good friendships along the way. You might only play for 2.5 months together, but man, we felt like we were closer than the time would tell you.
Yeah, and you're right. It's basically a minor league season, a short season, because the travel there, especially in the Northwoods League, like you have to drive from Canada to Iowa to Wisconsin, yeah. Minnesota, which I think is where you played. So the grind is just incredible.
It's Thunder Bay, I think you're talking about. Mm-hmm. They're in Canada. And yeah, one game, this is kind of what I mean by I was a little ignorant too. Well, I didn't know what I was jumping into, but one game, we woke up, it was like 5 a.m., did the 2-hour trip to Thunder Bay in Canada for the 10 o'clock game. Played the game, got on the bus back, and played a night game against Thunder Bay again at our place.
Wait, what? And the same day?
Yeah, same day. Well, it was pretty wild.
that's a hike too. I mean, that's a pretty good
trip. Yeah, the only guys that didn't go, it was like the starting pitcher and then the catcher for the second game. Everybody else, it was. So I mean, like looking back, it's kind of funny. It's fun, but it's crazy things like that.
It prepared you for the minor leagues. You probably could say. Just that grind. What was there like a big difference between, because you played in the Cape as well? Like, was there a difference between like the Northwoods League and the Cape? Did you see like a different? Was it a different type of player, or was it pretty much similar talent both places?
I would say it's definitely different. The Cape. I would say the difference with the Cape would be 1 through 9. You know, you're facing any given school that day, you're facing their dude. Mm-hmm. So it was, I'm facing 7, 8, 9 this inning. I kind of get let's just pump fastballs by him or something. Right. It was, hey, you really got to hit your spot. Make sure you sequence well. Cause these guys know how to hit. And in Northwoods, you might have to worry about, I'll say like 1 through 6 or something. Right. And then maybe you have some filler guys towards the end, but for Cape, it was, hey, this 1 through 9, these guys are all trying to play. We're all playing hard. It's like it's a pretty special league to play in. And I think I realized that I went my first year, his name was Michael Tinsley, and he just got done hitting like 350 in the Big 12, like great hitter. And they had him hitting like 8th. And I'm like, what the? I mean, so it's just things like that. And you're playing with all the top name schools. You're playing with guys from Arizona, Vanderbilt, Florida, you name it. So it's fun.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, was the travel better over there? Because I think it's more like condensed and whatnot.
I think the furthest, you're within an hour or two of pretty much everybody. So it's nice.
Was that after your sophomore year or junior year?
I'm a rare repeat. I went after sophomore and junior year because I always say that kind of because normally guys get drafted after junior year. So I didn't, and I went back for a second year.
Do you think that helped you get drafted though, just being playing in the Cape and being able to pitch against the talent that they have there? Like obviously, like you said, 1 through 9, they're just dudes.
Yeah, it definitely summer, it's weird. Summer ball really exposes some guys, just if mainly with the wooden bat. If guys can hit with that, if guys can throw and you get good results off that. So, yeah, definitely kind of, as you said, again, with the Northwoods, helps you get used to a minor league season and kind of see how you do against big-name college bats when they have some a wood bat and everything. So having success at the college season helped, obviously, and then backing it up during summer ball definitely helps.
For sure. And then at what point did you – the scouts, did you, so I got this from a different guy I interviewed. He has a podcast as well, and he talks about not that if to when moment, not like if I get drafted, but when I get drafted. So when was your like if to when moment where you stopped saying if I get drafted, but when I get drafted?
It was probably, I would say it was maybe towards the end of my sophomore year. I had actually, I probably gained about 7 miles an hour on my fastball. And that was mainly growing into the body, getting bigger, stronger. So like freshman year, I was probably sitting around like 82, 83. And then sophomore year, I think I was topping around 90 and kind of figured it out. I got hit around a little bit. I was kind of learning again how to pitch with velocity. So kind of helped me figure it out towards the end of my sophomore year, and had some scouts talk to me, then a coach was like, hey, make sure you keep doing this, that, because these guys want to talk to you. And then it kind of hits you and you're like, oh, actually I could have a chance. And then going through my junior year, had a decent year, hoping to get drafted, like always want to see what happens. Kind of wasn't in the cards for me, talked to some guys here and there, but it was definitely better for me to go back, finish up school, finish out my senior year and get a chance to play as a senior sign. So kind of went, did that, and it was definitely the better choice for myself.
So how was your draft day experience then? Because obviously you went in the 10th round, correct? Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So how was your, like, your experience? Like, did you have like a draft party, or was it just kind of like low key, you know?
No, it was my mom, brother, and girlfriend at the time, now wife, and we're hanging out, dude. My wife now, she came out first time to California. We were at the beach and I was like, oh yeah, there's like the drafts going on. We'll just like kind of hang out, we'll watch. I've been getting calls, but as a senior sign, you have no idea kind of when you're going to go. If teams could like you, you could be like, well, theoretically the number one guy, but they won't take you until it fits perfectly in the draft for them for that. Right. So it was either, hey, I'll be a money saver pick, I don't know, like 6th, 7th round, or I could even fall until late the second day in like the 25th round or something. So it was really a, hey, let's kind of hang out, see what happens, stay by the phone. My mom woke me up that morning at like 7 a.m. because I forgot or I wasn't thinking clearly, whatever. She's like, hey, your phone, I'm getting calls from your coach because you're not answering your phone. I'm like, oh, East Coast.
Yeah.
So I was already a couple hours behind and woke up, and I actually was talking to the Dodgers the most, and they were like, hey, we're going to take you. I was in the drive-thru at Del Taco because we're like, hey, we need something quick. Getting some tacos. Dodgers call me. Pull out of the draft, they're like, hey, we're about to take you. I'm like, all right, sounds good. My brother pulls up the draft on his phone. Dodgers pick someone else. They like go over me. I'm like, wow. All right, get back in line, get the tacos. Dodgers call again. They're like, hey, we're gonna take you 10th round. Like, yes or no, basically. That's kind of all they say. And I'm like, yep, yeah, of course. And then they're like, all right, sounds good. And then the Rangers actually called me and said, hey, we're gonna take you 10th round. Pick whatever it was, and you look on the chart and you see that they're one pick after the Dodgers. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to the Dodgers, like if they pick me this time. And then out of nowhere I get a call from the Mets, talk to the guy twice, and he goes, hey, we're about to take you. And I was like, all right, sweet, no joke. 10 seconds later, pick goes in and you watch it on TV. So It was, I'm not going to say heartbreaking because it was Dodgers,
yeah.
West Coast, California.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden the Mets gave us a little curveball. But yeah, no, it happens quick and you kind of don't know up until that moment.
Yeah. So obviously you grew up in LA area, like Southern California. Were you a Dodgers fan growing up or a Padres? Probably weren't a Padres fan at that time.
I'm about 20 minutes from Angel Stadium. So okay. I grew up going to Angel games. I mean, anytime, like all the time. So, but I will say I obviously like the Yankees because of how good they were growing up.
Wow.
So I had some guys roll their eyes at me, but I grew up going to all the Angel games and everything. So pretty familiar with that.
Who's your favorite Angels player growing up? I know it's kind of off. Getting sidetracked, but like growing up, like obviously going to those games, like for me going to Oakland games, Eric Chavez was like my favorite guy to watch play third base. I thought he was just incredible,
he was awesome.
Yeah. Who was like someone like you just looked at and like, that's the dude.
The Angels kind of had at that time, they had some of the, they just played hard and kind of played how you always envision yourself playing. Right. So Sean Figgins was the man. He played middle infield. I like playing second base. So I always watched him. And then obviously Garrett Anderson was a beast as well. So probably those two are the top. And then, I mean, you can sprinkle in. I mean, they had Vladimir. They had Darren Erstad type deal. So they had a lot of guys that it was fun to watch.
Yeah, so, I mean, that would have been sweet if you got drafted by either the Angels or the Dodgers. But the Mets, they're an organization. Like, they're obviously a big-time organization, right? They're not – especially now with their new owner, they're not playing games.
Yeah.
So you get drafted by the Mets, and then you go right to the minor leagues. Obviously, playing in the Big 12, it's probably a lot nicer travel, so a little bit nicer, you know, stadiums and equipment-wise. Like, did anything prepare you to go from, like, being a Big 12 player to – I think you went to rookie ball first, and I think you played every level, right, throughout your – so
yeah.
far.
Yeah. If anything, it was the Northwoods that prepared you. I mean, you're grinding. You're eating some pretty bad food. It was Golden Corral takeout. Very limited selections on sandwiches, on pretty much everything. So you're staying in some rough spots on hotels. It was tough, but at the same time, it's you kind of laugh about it. And it's kind of fun. Everyone understands how bad it is. Mm-hmm. I was fortunate to be with a group of a lot of senior signs. So we kind of enjoyed that process together and kind of helped each other along the way. But yeah, definitely the Northwoods prepares you the most.
Right. Speaking of like just being in the minor leaguers and the grind and all that, obviously this podcast is way more than baseball. They're helping out to do like housing and kind of just being an advocate for minor leaguers. You're married, so obviously now like do you live in team housing? Like, how does that work now with the new like housing like rules and stuff?
Yeah, so that is a tricky part with the housing. Obviously MLB saying, hey, we'll pay for housing and everything like that, it's great. It's definitely a step in the right direction. I didn't have as big of an issue, but different guys who have kids, if you want to live somewhere else, it's kind of on you. And you have kids, your wife, you have to have a roommate. You have to have someone that's okay to do that. And if you're trying to get in a spot where it's more comfortable for your family, it is on you. They just kind of, they say, oh, well, we offered this for you. So here you go, take it. And if you don't, then you got to leave it. So it's definitely a step in the right direction. But I did see a couple guys who, their families either couldn't come with them or they had to opt out of the free housing because it's just not a good situation to have your two kids and wife with a roommate on top of his wife. And it's just, so there's some little gray areas that I think could probably be addressed, but it's definitely a step in the right direction.
Yeah. And you mentioned your wife, she's also an athlete. So she's a volleyball player. Who's the, obviously I'm sure you're both competitive. Does it get pretty competitive? Like if you're doing like family game nights or whatnot?
Yeah. My mother-in-law has banned us from being on the same team. So We definitely get into games. We play a lot of card games and word games type deal. But yeah, it's fun.
Yeah, no, for sure. I bet. So speaking of just life in the minors, I like talking about this one because it kind of highlights the struggles that people go through. Because I say this all the time, fans, they see the final product, right? They see their favorite player on their favorite team, but they don't see like the years of just grinding through the minors that player went through to get to the big leagues, right? I like to kind of talk about this and kind of highlight some things. It could be funny, but it's more funny just because you're going through it as a professional, you know, baseball player. Have you had any like funny, like minor league stories where it's like, okay, the bus broke down here, or we get to the hotel and there's no reservation for us, or something like that?
I mean, yeah, we just had one where right before I went down with my injury, we're leaving the field. It's an awkward like 6:30 a.m. bus or something like that, and bus driver read the email wrong, and there's a miscommunication or something, so he shows up 30 minutes late. He's like, all right, everybody get on. There's like two buses, so half the team's already on bus one, everybody else hops on bus two, and we're leaving outside of our complex, and our bus driver goes through a tight squeeze. There's another big bus parked there or something, and ends up taking off our side mirror, and he stops the bus. Everyone kind of like, what's going on? It's also 6 a.m. Everyone stops and he looks out and he goes, yep, the mirror's gone, get off. So we all just jump off and hop on bus one. You all squeeze on and try to make your flight. But yeah, I mean, stuff like that. More than often, something goes wrong with the food. And that's not an issue on not ordering, not getting enough. It's more on the catering company. Like, we've had guys where, they Uber Eats it or something, and the driver never showed up, so the whole meal showed up an hour late. And guys are running out with a sandwich in their back pocket before the game starts. Also, other times where they made like half the amount of sandwiches that they had to, so only the starters ate, and then just stuff like that. But nothing too bad, nothing too crazy. Definitely I had some bags get lost, or our team did, on the airplane and stuff like that, but somehow you find a way to get through it. Somebody always packs an extra belt, an extra hat, so
yeah.
But yeah, just little things here and there.
Yeah, like I said, it's only funny because you guys are professional athletes going through all of these situations and scenarios. Like, I've had guys who told me their bus broke down, similar. Two buses, one breaks down, they all go into the second bus, that bus breaks down. It turns into
I've heard of that one too.
Turns into a whole overnight ordeal, and they're stuck in the middle of like Indiana, and all they could do is order Taco Bell from Uber Eats because nothing else delivered at that late time. So one guy's ordering Taco Bell for all the boys, and it's just Uber drivers are showing up, or Uber Eats guys are showing up left and right with their Taco Bell orders in the middle of like cornfields in Indiana. So it's just incredible, like the stories that people have told me. And like I said, it's funny, but it's really not that funny because you shouldn't have to be going through this. You talked about food though, like throughout all the levels of the minor leagues that you've been through, like at what point did the spread actually start getting better? Like the post game or pre game, whatever.
Probably Double A. Consistently, you'll have good meals here and there, but a consistent good meal normally starts around Double A. Then depending on where you go, what your home stadium is, they might have a good week, have a bad week. Triple A is normally pretty solid.
What stadium in Triple A that just has like the best food? Like, you go there and you're like, I cannot wait because like I'm gonna just take a couple of these back with me or something. I've heard Nashville's pretty good. I don't know if you've played there.
So I haven't played in Nashville, but I do remember Louisville. That's where the bats are. It's the Reds, and they had good food, and you can go around. It's a great spot to hit up a local joint or something like that.
Nice. Talking about kind of jumping through different like leagues here, where did you notice like the biggest difference in like competition? I've heard Double A is harder than Triple A for some different aspects, but was it from like Double A to Triple A, or from like High A to Double A? Where did you start noticing that like batters weren't just getting out as easy?
Yeah, I mean, I've hit my struggles more in AAA. Hopefully coaches go with your thought of AA is harder.
Yeah.
But I definitely hit – you hit a roadblock at some point you're going to, unless you're probably one of the best pitchers if you don't. A lot of guys I've played with, y'all stumble upon one thing that happens. For me, you notice it in AAA, and it was more the approach of the hitter. And everyone always says you can't get away with mistakes anymore, but they're even hitting good pitches. You'll throw a pitch, it could be up and in, your highest velocity, perfect spot, and that guy could still turn on it and hit it 400 feet. So I think it's more still trusting yourself through it, because you could give up, you could throw your perfect pitch and be like, I got that guy out at every single level. And now AAA, this guy takes it deep. And you could be like, is that a problem with my pitch? Is that a problem with this? And it's just what it is. Like that guy just got one. You could throw that pitch 10 more times, the next 10 guys will get out. So I think it's more of a mental understanding that, hey, you still have what it takes, still got it. And just believing that, hey, that pitch is going to get somebody out.
Speaking of the mental side, obviously, like, you hear baseball is a game of failure because most of the time, like, even the best hitters will strike out a ton. So how do you mentally, like, keep yourself strong just going through the minors, either through the ups and downs? Obviously, you've had really, like, your numbers in minor leagues have been pretty good. But at the same time, you mentioned, like, the struggles you go through. Like, how do you stay mentally strong and, like, mentally tough through those times?
Yeah, it's a I think it really starts with connecting with the teammates around you. You guys are all going through the same thing. Nobody wants to have a bad outing, but it's going to happen. So I think really if you connect with your teammates and you guys are able to talk about it and really be like, dang, that was a tough one yesterday. And that guy sitting there is like, yeah, I had a tough one 2 days ago. So everyone gets it. My first year, again, I had a lot of senior signs on my team, and we would give each other, we had 3 days during the whole season to kind of say, all right, I'm kind of over it. Give me my space. Nobody, like, don't joke around with me today. Just kind of let me go about my business. And you had 3 days and you had to let people know. And then after those days, be like, all right, you're back at it. Like, get over it kind of deal. So that's kind of what you got to do. I think you got to have a good group around you. And I think those guys, you guys help each other. Everyone's going through a struggle, so you might as well go through it together.
Yeah, no, that's a very good point. Obviously, like, having that camaraderie with the guys and knowing that people have gone through before you and then there's people going through it with you at the same time definitely helps. Yeah. Getting off the bus, like, what is the one city you've gotten off the bus? You look around and you're like, where am I? I'm in the middle of nowhere.
Oh, man. I guess I should say, that's a tough question. Honestly, anywhere, the Appalachian League isn't even a league anymore, or at least they're not affiliated with minor league baseball. But there are some spots in Tennessee where, I mean, I played in Kingsport, Tennessee, and it was our home field, and I would still get out and be like, where am I? Like, there's just trees, there's open land, there's just nothing around here, and then all of a sudden there's a ballpark. So I would say a league in Tennessee, I'd never been. Obviously, there are some great spots, but there are some random spots where you're like, wow, do I have cell phone service? Do I have this or that? But yeah, there's a couple, I'd say, in the Midwest, really, that will get you pretty good.
Did you ever play in Beloit?
No, I did not.
Okay. I know that's here in the Midwest League. I don't know, with all the realignments, like, who knows what compared to when you were in low or high A. It was low A before, now it's high A. Yeah, like, I've had, like, Beloit is one of the stadiums that people talk to me all the time about, like, it's like the worst stadium and not the nicest city in Wisconsin, but they actually just got a new stadium. I was there a couple of weeks ago, maybe a month or two ago, and like, it's a like brand new stadium. This is the first like full season in it. And it's a really great stadium now. The previous stadium was just absolutely, like, minor league baseball had told the city that if they didn't get a new ballpark, they're losing their team basically. So the city was like, okay, we can't do that. So they were able to, pony up some money and build a new stadium. A couple more things. Have you ever like, because like you mentioned these teams, these stadiums are kind of like in the middle of nowhere. The stadiums are small. Fans are like right on top of you. You can hear every single thing they say. Have you had any like funny fan interactions, whether it's, you know, asking for autographs or like just, you know, shouting random like chirps at you kind of while you throughout your career here in the minors?
A lot of just being sidearm. I've had a lot of guys, be like fans be yelling at you saying, this isn't softball, stuff like that. like throw at the top, you suck. I mean, just kind of just the basic stuff. I did hear one though. I was a spectator. He didn't get me on this one, but we had a guy, this is a low A and it was, we're playing the Yankees low A. I forget where it was now. It was somewhere in South Carolina. And the guy's on the mound, he's warming up, and we're maybe a couple weeks in the season. This guy's been struggling right out the gate. And this guy comes up behind us. This is a day game. No one wants to be there. There's a group of guys behind us. Guy on the mound, let's just say his last name's Smith or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. He's like, oh, Smith, like you went to like Cal Poly. Oh, wow, you're like you had a 4.0. That's crazy. Oh, that's awesome. You have a 5 in low A too. You have really high, like your GPA, your ERA is high. Like, and he was just wearing them out on how high his GPA and ERA was. And I mean, the guy was just kind of getting on his Instagram talking about, oh, that's so awesome. You hung out with John yesterday. Like, it's like, what? I mean,
so while this guy is pitching, he's
no music going on. He's just yelling at you. And it's just fun. It's, yeah. We're all trying not to laugh because this guy's warming up going in, but he was giving him some good one-liners, and it was cool.
Yeah, like there's always like once in a while, like you hear the fan, especially like on Dollar Beer Night or something, like the fans get kind of wild. Yeah. There's some fans who have some really good chirps. Like I've been told a couple good ones where I'm like, you got to respect, you got to kind of laugh and kind of respect what they're saying and whatnot. Do you ever have like the autograph guys who come with like the books and they just kind of flip through it? And they're like, so what's your name? And then they're looking through it and they're like, okay, never mind. Or maybe they'll get your autograph. I know Mets, their fans are pretty good.
Yeah, no, they're all over. It doesn't matter what level, it doesn't matter what league, what game, you're gonna find some autograph guys tracking you down. The best way to get around that, you either stand next to the top prospect on your team, or as the top prospect gets out, yell their name really quick, and then everyone runs to them, and you just kind of walk on by.
Nice tips for those who are in the minor leagues right now.
Yeah,
Who was the number one guy like I guess maybe this year here in AAA for the Rangers now? Like who's maybe the one guy who gets just hounded like nonstop?
That's easy. The right-handed pitcher Cole Wynn.
Okay.
He is a first rounder in 18, and I mean he's the real deal. He'll be up in the big leagues probably at the second half of this year, and he'll probably have a 15-year career. So he's definitely seeked out the most by all autographers.
Yeah, that's crazy. I can't even imagine just being him everywhere you go. He probably can't go anywhere in anywhere where your guys play just because like everyone just knows who he is. Just being such a high profile pick and whatnot.
Yeah. No, it's, I mean, he has fun. We're close. We're friends. So he has fun with it. And he'll either try to put on some glasses or try a different jacket or do something to see if he can sneak on by. And he normally gets picked out pretty quickly.
Wow. So he has to get the fake glasses or the glasses on. Maybe he should get like one of those fake mustaches and walk out and see
we'll see. Yeah, definitely. It's, at some point he has fun with it. He just kind of got to joke around. Guys will give you a hard time, but it's all in good fun.
Yeah, for sure. You have to help me out, try to get him on the podcast. That'd be fun to have him come on and talk to him.
Definitely.
For sure. Okay, well, last thing I want to talk about is actually two things. So you get traded. Like how did you find out you got traded to the Rangers, obviously for the Mets not a year or two ago? Like how was that situation played out?
Yeah, it got traded like last week of the regular season in 2020. So it was pretty weird just because we were training. I wasn't at the alt site. I was just, throwing live BPs to high school kids in Arizona and trying to stay in shape. And then I was up early. I had my alarm for set for like 8 o'clock for church. It was Sunday morning. Mm-hmm. And then I get a call at like 7:30. So I was kind of upset that I was getting woken up this early by a call. It's our head director at the time. I answer the phone. I'm like, hello, like kind of upset. Like, what do you want? And he's like, hey, like Steven, sorry to wake you. Like we want to like, thank you for your time with the Mets. So we just traded you to the Texas Rangers. And it's kind of, all right, like, thanks. He goes, yeah, you'll watch your phone, like someone will be reaching out to you. And it's done. My as quick as that, like your time with the Mets is done. And then sure enough, within like an hour, I got a call. And you're a Texas Ranger just like that.
And I mean, obviously the Texas Rangers, they have a ton of good talent, like the draft picks that they've had. Obviously the last couple of years in drafting pitchers and whatnot, and they obviously signed Semien to a big deal, and Seager, I think, right? Seager obviously a big deal. Yep. So they got plans on competing, obviously. Hopefully, like I said, you're in the AAA. Hopefully you make your major league debut, hopefully this season, depending on, like, I mean, hopefully we get good news, you know, coming up here with the Army and whatnot. But when you're not pitching, like, what do you do for fun? Like, do you golf? Are you a gamer? Like, what do you do when you're not pitching or working out?
Yeah, I like golfing, like gaming. I just got married this past off season. Congrats. So I was busy with kind of all that. Thank you. Also got a year old golden retriever. His name's Finn. And then I got a little kitten at the same time. His name's Post Malone. And so they're a handful. Got them both when they were like 3 months old. So been dealing with them, hanging out with the pups and kitten. And besides that, I mean, the wedding planning took a lot of time, took a lot of energy. So this going to this next off season, kind of get to hang out more and definitely sharpen my golf game.
For sure. I'm not a golfer. I can't pretend to be. Like, I'm just bad.
Yeah, no, but you're definitely thrown into it. I've gotten more into it the last couple of years. Just being a pitcher, you'll have different guys want to go all the time. So it's good to get out. Kind of gives you a little break from the stress of the season.
Yeah, no, for sure. I hear that all the time. Pitchers, they golf a lot. I know I've talked to a couple guys who are actually really good golfers in different organizations. And I'm like, wow, I wish I had just like a sliver of what of their talent. Yeah, I mean, gaming, that is something I do. We'll have to maybe squat up sometime. I don't know what you play, but we'll have to figure that out sometime in here in the future. But I want to thank you for coming on. Obviously, you know, taking some time out of your day. So I do appreciate that. Hopefully we'll have you back on in the future. Enjoy the rest of your, your 2 hours behind me. So enjoy the rest of your evening.
Thanks, brother. No, I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on. It was fun.
Yeah, absolutely. And like I said, we'll have to have you back on. Hopefully you see you make your major league debut. If you pitch out here, I know that Rangers will come out to White Sox or Minnesota Twins or whatnot. So hopefully I'll come eventually watch you pitch live and we'll see how that goes. And we'll have to meet to get dinner or something.
Awesome, brother. Thanks again. I appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.